Hello. Thanks for joining us for this Sunday morning's teaching at Dayspring Fellowship. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
So, Terrence, if you'd pop the scripture up from Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 to 11. This is kind of what I've been speaking about for a few weeks, and I want to read that. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." And we started all this out by talking about this is all through the blood of Christ, what he shed for us. And it resulted in some things. And we went over those. First was salvation. Then we talked about strength. We talked last week about the kingdom of our God or the kingdom of heaven coming. And this week we're going to talk about the power of his Christ. But I want to connect that just a little bit, and this is really important for me. As I've been studying these, I'm seeing that they are connected a little bit. They're like, I'm very logical, I'm a math teacher, step by step. These line up together. We get saved. The strength, the seal of the Holy Spirit is inside of us. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt he's real, and our lives have hope, and we can stand and resist anything that comes against the Lord and his kingdom. And then it goes beyond a little bit of just standing and resisting the world around us. It should be, we want the kingdom of heaven to come. We want what's in heaven to be down here. We want the supernatural to enter the natural and change what we see. We want it to match up, not with what's in our head. I think Dan mentioned that earlier, but what's in his heart and his will down here. That's a real skill of discernment, of maturity, knowing what's in my heart and head, what I want to see, and what he wants to see, and making that come. All right? But that's what we talked about last week, the Lord's Prayer. How do I pray? Lord, teach us. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want what he's got up there down here in operation. We want to see that. Well, what does it look like? Well, it looks like kind of like when Jesus was on earth, what he did and said. That's our model. That's the kingdom of heaven on earth. All right? That is what's going on. If you want to think about it this way, the Lord God spoke in the beginning, and the natural was created by the supernatural. We have this idea that this is the natural, and the supernatural kind of can get in here and maybe do it. No, no, no. The supernatural created the natural. The supernatural should dictate what happens in the natural. I got an older musician I love. His name is Michael Card. He plays what I call teacher music. I'm a teacher, and he just sings the Word of God pretty much. And one of my favorite songs is, it's about Jesus. It's called The Lord's Final Word, or God's Final Word. His final word was Jesus. The final word that God the Father spoke to change the natural was Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word. That was God's final, well, supernatural activity, I'll say that, in Jesus, okay? So, the supernatural should change the natural. That's the pattern we've been given. Not we hold on to the natural, and the supernatural is our life vest and our life rope, and we're holding on the helicopter getting us out of here. It should be we're the SEAL guys diving out of the supernatural helicopter into the world to change what's around us. Not all of us in the church holding on in the helicopter saying, I hope we can stay afloat or flying here. It really is going into this world. Now, who's our example? Our example is Christ. The power of his Christ. Those words are very intentional. The power of his Christ. I love teaching the kids that Christ is not Jesus' last name at school. Jesus Christ is not the same as Tricia Quinn, okay? He should be Jesus bar Joseph, Jesus the son of Joseph, or Jesus from Nazareth. It's not his name, it's his title. It's the Messiah, the anointed one. So when we read this, the power of his Christ, we should read the power of his anointed one, the power of God the Father's chosen, selected, consecrated person with power to bring heaven to earth. Anointed. Well, let's see. Where I better go by my notes. I'm getting too excited. Okay. The anointed one, God's selected, consecrated person with power to bring about God the Father's will. We talked last week, kingdom of heaven is a lot about humility. Why is that so important when he said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant, learn to be last, because then you can be trusted with his power. Then you can be trusted as his ambassador, that you won't go off on your own to do your own thing. The humble servant says, I'm here to do whatever my master tells me, not whatever I want. Humility is big in the kingdom of God. So, let's look at Christ, humble servant. I love teaching the kids. You think your parents are bad? Imagine if you literally were the Son of God and you created the universe and you had to live at home for 30 years and make tables and do all that. And you're like, you know, I made the trees that are making the table, but I have to do it this way. And, you know, I know that. Whatever you've been through, kids, Jesus went through it and worse. Okay, so that's important to me because he knew he was the Son of God by the age of 12. He says that at the temple. Didn't you know I'd be in my dad's house doing this stuff? Come on. No, okay, I'll go serve for 18 more years. But he didn't do an act of power until after he was baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit came on him. He didn't control the power himself. He served and submitted his life to what God the Father wanted. And when it was time, he fulfilled all righteousness, was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came on him. After that anointing by the Spirit, he went out and started doing the miracles, the supernatural into the natural. Now, one of the very first ones that he did that I see is John chapter 1 verse 50 and 51. Go ahead, Terrence. He's gathering his disciples whom the Lord has given to him. He's ministering. People see him, including a guy named Philip. And Philip has a cousin, and he's named Nathaniel, who I like because his name is a little bit like my name. I identify with all the Nathans out there, even though I'm Lathan, because that's what I'm going to get called anyway. So here we go. Nathanael comes to see Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Nathanael comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, Nathanael, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. Now, if you know much about the Middle East and Israel, there's a lot of fig trees. So Jesus probably has a good 20% shot at just guessing it right. You know, if you were to come to me and I said something like, I bet you were sitting under a palm tree, I'd have a good shot of being right. But Jesus also said, behold, here's an Israelite in whom there is no guile. In other words, he was saying to Nathanael, you're a straight shooter, you're very blunt, there's no deception in you, you're to the point. In other words, Jesus is working a word of knowledge here by the Spirit. He's calling out parts of Nathanael's life. He's telling him where he saw him. He's telling him what he's like. And Nathanael is like, how did you know that? Behold, my Lord and my God. And Jesus is saying here, all I did was a word of knowledge. This is pretty basic. Holy cow, you believe just because I did this? All right, Terrence, go to the... And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you will see heaven open. Remember, this is what we're supposed to pray according to the Lord's Prayer. Heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In other words, the heavens are going to open. God's power and ability, typified, symbolized by the angels, are going to come up and down and descend on me. We're going to see much bigger stuff than this, Nathanael. Get ready. This goes back to Jacob's dream where he saw the ladder to heaven and the angels ascending and descending. Jesus is saying, get ready. There's a lot more than this coming. This is what should be normative in the kingdom of God. an open heaven with angels descending and ascending. The supernatural changing the natural according to God's will. All right. So, let's look at John chapter 1:33. This is John the Baptist about Jesus. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So John knew Jesus was coming and was looking for the Holy Spirit to descend on him and saw that when he was baptized. But what John says here is that Jesus will be the one who baptizes other people with the Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water, he said, but one comes after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So this is important. In the economy of the kingdom, God sends Jesus. Jesus is humbled. Jesus is baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is raised up after the resurrection. We are humbled by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. He then has the authority to send the Holy Spirit and baptize us. So we're getting a continuation of the story. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, now us. Not being sent out in our own authority, but being sent out in Jesus' authority, being baptized with the same thing he was baptized with, the Holy Spirit. That's the power of his Christ. The humility leading to the power to bring about the kingdom. Let me say that again. The humility to bring about the power to bring about the kingdom. All right, go to John 15:26. This is the section where Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going away. I'm leaving y'all. Y'all, this is the Messiah saying, I'm leaving you. How would you, you know, if someone came up here today and said, we are leaving Dayspring Fellowship. We are going somewhere else. We just feel led by the Lord. We'd all feel like, oh, gosh, oh, we love you. You're such a big part. You know the normal things people do. Here's Jesus saying, I'm done. I'm out. And they have a reaction like, what? I mean, just imagine if Jesus showed up in the flesh today and came up here and said, I love y'all, but God is sending me to a different church. What? No. You have to... This is their church. Jesus is their church. And he's saying, I'm checking out. But don't worry about it. I'll read the verse. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to baptize you. He is going to testify of me. Later on it says he's going to teach you the things. He's going to remind you the things. He's going to bring glory and manifestations that will point back to me. That's the other thing about the kingdom of God. All the acts of power point back to Christ, or they should. The power of his Christ, not the power of me or you or us, but the power of his Christ. Everything that's Holy Spirit driven should not point to an individual or a group. It should point to Christ. That's a key to the kingdom right there. All right, John 14:14. Did I put it up there? Did I give it to you? Okay. I'll read this. This is a good verse. It's from the Bible. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also. It says he. It could say she. It doesn't matter. That's an individual. That verse is for every one of us. The works that he did, you in the singular, should also be doing. So if you want to look at a rubric, Lord, you did this, I want to do this. Lord, you did this, I want to do this. I'm not very smart, I don't know a lot of Bible verses, Lord, but you went into the synagogue and taught the scriptures. I want to go into a Bible study and teach the scriptures. Well, my spiritual gift is not teacher, you see. Lord, you healed someone of leprosy. I want to heal someone of leprosy or whatever disease you want to fill in there that's separates people from the rest of society, that's contagious, that's everything. Lord, you had words of knowledge. I want to have words of knowledge. Anything Jesus did, you and I should have the desire to do that. And that includes walking on water. Ooh, it got real quiet. I'm going to have to, like Jesus, go somewhere. No. Everything he did, you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm just going to go out and do it. It means that his leading, remember I said humility, what brings about the power and the kingdom of God, not because you and I feel like it. Okay, that's important. We're led by him, not by us. That's very important there. And greater works than he will do because I go to the Father. In other words, what I'm doing now, please keep it going. Please don't stop. Greater doesn't mean more stupendous. It just means there's going to be more of them because I only had 3 years, y'all. You're all going to be here for thousands of years and a long time. Greater things than I do, you're going to do. Keep it going, please. All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, and then verse 8. This is after he's risen from the dead, and he's come back, okay? And he's meeting with his disciples before he ascends to heaven. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Okay, go ahead, Terrence. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He's about to baptize them. And what's really cool here, he said, I'm going to baptize you. The helper's going to come. But this is the promise of the Father. This is not Jesus' great idea. The Father has promised the Holy Spirit, and he's saying to Jesus, I want you to baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, even though he's risen from the dead, is still submitted to his Father. This is my Father's promise. I'm carrying it out. And I want you to wait until you get this power. Y'all, they know he's the Son of God. They're saved, so to speak. They believe in him now, except for Thomas, who, you know, gets it eventually. But he's saying, the kingdom of God is more than just this. It's the power to bring about the supernatural to the natural. It's the power to change things here and now. All right, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Remember, I talked about that section in John 15 and 16 where it says the Holy Spirit will cause you to say things and do things that will testify of Jesus, to witness of him. This is what he's talking about. So often, I feel like we get trapped a little bit in just saying the words of Christianity. If we get the idea right, if we get the theology right, if we get this right and are able to speak it, we can stop there. Y'all, that's not the full kingdom of God in operation, changing the natural. Here, I want to talk about an example of someone going out into all the world, and that's the Apostle Paul. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Paul went out, he helped establish the Corinthian church. If you read the book of Acts, there's miracles left, right, and center, while excellent teaching is going on. Please don't anyone misunderstand me that I'm saying we don't want good biblical-based teaching here. We just want to go crazy with stuff. That's not what I'm saying. All right? Our words have to be linked to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That's important. They can't just be wise words. How do I know this? Well, let's see what Paul says. He went and established the Corinthian church. God moved him on. False teachers came in with the same Bible, and we're twisting it to mean different things. So here we go. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. He was testifying about God. And he's saying, it wasn't my words. They weren't the best words. I'm not the smartest guy. What did I do? For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, the gospel. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, it wasn't the words I said necessarily. They weren't, probably wasn't the best speech I've ever made. But I know that the presence of God, the Spirit, was with me. It was demonstrated. And when I spoke, you felt something. Y'all, I can't tell you how many times I've stood up here and preached or wherever, and halfway through I'm like, holy cow, I got to wrap this thing up. This is awful. Okay? I've left out a whole section. How do I go back to it? And Lord, it's one you told me about. Y'all, sometimes God starts speaking to me in like Monday or Tuesday what to speak, and I'm not intentional about writing it down. And Sunday morning I'm like, what did you say? I got to fill something in here. And like 3/4 of the way through the message, I'm like, oh yeah. How can I get Terrence to pull that verse up without messing that up? I'm just being honest, y'all. And after some of those times when I'm shaking my head like I just want to hide my face and go home, some lovely God-sent person will come to me like, what you said today changed my life. I was thinking about this whole week, and I just know, I can't believe you. You just answered the question I asked my husband on the way to church this morning that he didn't know the answer to. But, wow. And I'm just there like, whoa, God, you did something, because I, honestly, y'all, it's happened a couple times where that great person has said that to me, and inside I'm going, I didn't say anything about that at all. Did you even hear me? Were you at this, sir? And what I've come to realize is when it leaves my lips or whoever's lips is up here and gets to your ears and goes into the nervous system or whatever and into your brain and into your understanding, that's a whole lot of time and space for the Holy Spirit to do a work. It's a whole lot of time. That's what Paul's saying here. Look, when I came and taught y'all, I demonstrated the Spirit, but my words also had the power of the Spirit behind them. Go ahead, Terrence. Holy cow, okay. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, what's important here is not to put our faith in men, whether it's the miracles or the wise words, because we as men and women are going to mess up. Just because there's a wise teacher or someone who demonstrates great, amazing miracles and this and that, that's not where our... Paul is very plain here. Look, I came and taught you, and I taught you real well, and the power was demonstrated. Please don't put your faith in me. The faith is in the power of God, the demonstration of the Spirit, and what you felt when the Spirit of God touched your life. All right, let's go back, or go to 4:19 through 20. This is, Emily, you're going to like this part, okay? Emily's a chef, by the way, all right? And this is a section I just came up with. This is Paul's Iron Chef throwdown, okay? He's in chapter 4 now, so he's 3 chapters later, and you can tell he's still really upset about these people who have come in. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up. The verse before this says knowledge puffs up, makes you feel bigger than everybody else. I know so much. But the power. I'm going to come, and I'm going to sit with those people, and I'm going to hear their words, and I don't care what they know. I want to feel the power they're talking with. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let's have an Iron Chef throwdown. Boom, I'm coming. And the only thing that's going to stop me from coming to you is if God says, no, have mercy on them, Paul, don't show up. I want to hear their words and their knowledge, but I want to feel their power. I want to feel the Spirit's anointing on their words. Just like in Nazareth when Jesus taught and the people said, who is this? He teaches with such authority. There is weight on his words. I can feel a difference. All right. When we're talking about changing the natural, we all know several verses where it says salvation is a work, an act of God's power. In Romans 1, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power for salvation to everyone who believes. Y'all, when you see someone get saved, and you see that new creature born in them, and they're totally different from before and after, you're like, whoa, that's a real miracle. This person is totally transformed. What was it that did that? Well, we know that they had to hear from a preacher about it. I mean, the scripture says that, and you and I can all be the preacher. I'm not saying, you know, one top person or anything like that. The words have to be spoken, but what draws them to salvation is God's Spirit and grace. Even in the act of salvation, we want that spiritual side present because that's what saves them, not our words, not if you quote the Roman road exactly right, not if your testimony is top-notch. It's God's Spirit. All he needs is someone to say, all right, Lord, I believe in the power. I believe you want the kingdom of heaven in this person's life, and I'm going to be intentional about going and doing it. Well, what? How can we be intentional about it? Pray. How should I pray? Our King, our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I'm praying for this person to get saved. I'm praying for this miracle to happen. And you know what? It might take forever. That's okay. Because after I'm dead and gone, there's going to be another 100,000 just like me who are going to believe for the same thing. Jesus taught a parable once about how men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, I don't see it yet. Well, don't lose heart. Keep believing for it. If God has put it on your heart, then he wants it to happen. And we need to pray it through. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 17. This is the story of the guy who's paralyzed being lowered in to where Jesus is teaching. All right? Now, it happened on a certain day as he was teaching. And by the way, this is right after Luke 4, where Jesus announces his ministry, what his life is about. The Lord has anointed me with his Spirit. In other words, Jesus declares, I have legal authority to do this. The Lord has anointed me with his Spirit to do these things. And one of them is to heal. As he was teaching, so again, we're not saying no wise words. He's teaching here. He's teaching them wise words from the scripture, anointed by the Spirit, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, people who knew the word of God but had no authority or anointing to teach it. See the contrast. Who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. We're here to watch you. We're here to see what you do. And we're here to correct you and smack you down. They're all there. The natural inclination is don't say anything that's going to cause trouble. But what was God's will for that moment? What was the kingdom agenda that day? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So Jesus has an opportunity there. He has a choice. I can teach a good Bible lesson from the Old Testament to please these guys. But God's present is to heal them. All right. Go over to verse 23. So these guys can't get their paralyzed friend in the door. They tear up the ceiling, lower him down there. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Y'all, he didn't not only not say anything troubling, he went right for the jugular on these guys. Only God can forgive sins. So when he says, your sins are forgiven, he's saying, I'm God. What you going to do about it? I mean, that he just went right to it. And five words. He just started the firestorm in 5 words. They get all upset. So Jesus says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Because their strong belief was, your sickness, your disease, is because you have disappointed God. You have sinned. You have fallen away. And God has cursed you with sicknesses and diseases. Bad things have happened to you because you haven't done enough for God. So Jesus just says, I've forgiven their sin. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? But that you may know, because knowledge is really important to these guys, knowing everything, that the Son of Man, I'm the Son of Man, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Anointed One, the power of Christ, has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Go ahead, Terrence, is there another one there? Immediately, he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house. And where did the miracle point to? Glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, awe, reverent. Y'all, when this kind of stuff happens, it's not like you can just say, okay, I'm just going to keep on living like I'm living. It's like, whoa, I want some of that in my life. Remember, Jesus had the choice to just keep teaching and be safe and please them. Now, my guess even was his teaching wasn't pleasing them very much. None of his teachings really did. But he said, the Lord's here and its presence is to heal today. I'm going to heal. They were all glorifying God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. This church is weird. This is odd. Can you believe those people ruined a perfectly good house and came in through the ceiling? They messed up during the time when he was teaching. The order of service was totally thrown off. But again, what was the kingdom of heaven's agenda that day? To heal. To forgive, and not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. To forgive the sins. The power of the words that were anointed and the power of the actions brought the supernatural into the natural. Brought heaven to earth.